This time is a period of time for some inquiry. I'll just give a general explanation of the period of time too. You can see here that there is one empty cushion. There is an invitation to anyone who wishes to come and take the seat. Maybe just from your days here, sometimes from the meditations, from instructions, talk, experiences, concerns about whatever that you may have, you're very, very free to come, take a seat, and then some inquiry gets underway with myself. And there may be something that you wish to touch upon, which is important for you, which you feel is of interest to other people. With the inquiry time, the primary intention behind it is to contribute to some insight and understanding for all of us, without exception. With the inquiry, there it might last just a few minutes, and sometimes it's half an hour, 40 minutes there. When one inquiry finishes, there's a couple of shared silent minutes together, and then I'll say anyone, and then another person may like to come and take the seat. There's an exit clause in the inquiry. It's a very simple English one of thank you. So at any time, the person or myself can say thank you. And that's the indication, enough, or complete, or au revoir, or whatever. For those who are listening, and obviously the great majority of you, in the listening, to listen as fully as possible, and I do think listening is one of the primary task and responsibilities of human beings, that we really learn to listen to each other. When listening stops, all hell starts. So in the act of listening there, and also that means inner listening as well as outer. In this case, of course, listening to two people having some shared concerns, looking at something together, and also listening inwardly, really noticing and really picking up on any kind of responses that are taking place as you listen. And so sometimes in the listening, it's with real interest and empathy and connection. The listening, you might feel it's irritating and abstract and emotional and therapeutic. Some of the others I hear. The most boring evening since the last Hollywood film you saw, or whatever. So just to catch the views, and there are lots of boring Hollywood films, but anyway, to catch the views that arise there in the act of listening. Say, oh, this is just the view that's arising. This is the feeling I'm experiencing as I listen. And that's just as important as whatever you and I might listen to. There's the listening to and the inner listening as the simultaneous event there. And as I say, in terms of the Dharma of exploration, the field of exploration is completely open to whatever feels valuable or important or which you would like to attend to, and hopefully for the welfare and benefit of us all. So anyone who would like to come, and the other should mention, I have here this recorder, actually two of them, and if you feel okay with the recording, then it gets recorded, but please do take notice that if it is recorded, it's, as it were, as they say these days, it's in the public sector. So your mother might order the CD, you know, or worse, your therapist. And and if you prefer it not to be recorded, that's absolutely fine, because we're the Dharma is into emptiness, so we're happy either way. All right, so anyone who would like to come, anything like to touch upon this evening in any area, please feel free. And I'll use the microphone and I'll just move it backwards and forwards so that those over there in the far realms can hopefully hear it. And if you can't, because sometimes the voice does drop, there's loads and loads of space in here. And if we were in India, we'd be saying, why is the place so empty? So no problem. How many people have been to India, by the way? Oh, God. A lot. Okay. So anyone who would like to come, welcome. Yes, please, come. Yes. With the recording?
Yeah, no problem.
You may have to do a little passing.
Okay.
Can you hear right?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you've got your thumbs up.
Okay. I found out that I'm struggling since the beginning of this.
You've been struggling?
Yeah, struggling with my body. And to the point that I had, today I had fever.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And today I just came to a point when I told myself, it shouldn't be that way. So, why am I struggling? So,
mm-hmm.
And the struggle was about the simple posture, you know. You look at everyone and everybody's sitting like this. And you're sitting like this. And I was sitting like this. I mean, I practice yoga and I should be able to sit like this. And But my back was really, really painful. And I was not at all at peace of mind. Mm. I was struggling with my body and with pain.
Is it the first time you've been in the retreat environment like this before?
Yeah, this kind of retreat, yeah.
Okay. We'll just take it on the step by step for a moment. Can you expand a little bit on the feeling of struggle?
Well, it's a kind of conflict because just today after dinner I read one of your the posture thing, and I just saw maybe it was the answer for what I was looking for to somewhat help me with my struggle, with my conflict, which you said that posture shouldn't be held just by willpower alone.
Exactly,
and that helped me, and I mean I somehow exhausted myself to the point that I had no other option, and to just surrender. So just a few sessions, I just lie down,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't sleeping. I was listening to my breath. And
if you hold out. I'll try and carry the voice. It's a little awkward going back and forwards. Sometimes, in the sitting, and with the pain which arises, as plenty of people experience, there's the arising of struggle and pain. Of course, very much can be associated with the physical, and as you say, in spite of yoga and good health or whatever, sometimes the body starts generating some pain. It's not used to the stillness, and it's not used, and the spine is not used to the straightness. And one has to endure a little bit. But also, struggle in the sitting may be a kind of metaphor for other areas of life where there is struggle going on. So, dare I ask?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Would you like to name any? You don't have to.
Well, I wouldn't go into specific things, but generally, yeah, I tend to sometimes take the harder path.
The harder path.
Also with the sitting, there is. Why should anyone sit with pain? Because he thinks that something good will arise from it.
Mm.
Thinks that the pain might be the path to higher existence. I don't know what.
It could be the path to more pain.
Yeah. <that's right. laughs>
Is there a value? I know it isn't easy, and we may not be able in our mind to find any reason to sit and give attention to the pain without any higher in this, just the bare existence. Could there be a value for you in sitting and in contact with pain? Even though the mind says, no, I don't like this, I prefer something else. Could there be something valid about direct attention to physical pain?
I imagine there could be something valid, but in my case, I saw nothing beneficial because I couldn't breathe.
You still hearing all right? So you'd have to hold this up.
I couldn't breathe.
He said he couldn't breathe. All right. Well, at least for a short while. Otherwise, we would have carried your So sometimes the contraction is there. There's some resistance. There is pain. That's the physical event. Then there's the relationship to it. When the relationship to it is under pressure, lungs breathing can contract. Can't breathe. Struggle starts. It wears out all the energy. One feels one's got to lie down. Do you think that's about the pain in the body, or is it about the relationship to it? There's a physical event, and there's a relationship to it.
You mean, does the physical pain maybe symbolizes or is related to something else?
Meaning that there's the fact of the physical pain. In your case, mostly in the back.
Yeah, there's one point. There's also like a reason for it. I had some accident, but
yeah. So there's the direct experience, as you say, in the back, to acknowledge the pain. Then there's the relationship to it. How you relate to it. How you view it. So what I was hearing was. Struggle, some exhaustion,
and exception,
and then viewing around and thinking everybody is a kind of sitting still Buddha or whatever it might it might be there. Coming back to the same question, could there be a value in developing a clear relationship with pain other than struggle?
The relationship I would like to see is the ability to somehow do whatever I can to reduce the pain.
Yeah. All right. Struggle doesn't seem to reduce it, does it?
No.
No, exactly. So that's the tendency. It could be, metaphor again, in other areas of one's life. Something is painful in one's life. We're having a job dealing with it. So then we start struggling with it, which means getting into conflict with, as you said. We start fighting with. There's pain and struggle, fighting, conflict, because we're not dealing with it very well. So the body has the pain. There is some knowledge of some of the conditions, accident, past history, etc. And it is important to be respectful to that, clearly. But nevertheless, there is the fact of it, and then there's this relationship to it there. How would you develop a relationship to pain which does not have in it struggle, conflict, resistance?
For once I can try to just see it and accept it, and
it will be more than once.
Yeah.
Once, twice, three times, four. So we go step by step. First of all, is to see. Some attitude towards working with or acceptance would be there. Anything else? I'm not looking for a particular answer. Just looking for ways that you can
maybe
work with pain and not fight it.
Maybe develop the, the perception that I don't have. If I can do something about it, then I don't have to feel the pain, or for example, today I could do something about it. Nobody told me that I must sit.
It's not on me.
Yeah, so if I can do something about it,
So, sometimes in life, and from your experience with the back, sometimes pain arises, the accident, the ill health. At least two or three or more pregnant women, they will soon be doing some strong breathing exercises. Men have escaped this responsibility. Thank God. And there's pain. So pain comes. It comes through birth. It can come through life. It comes through unwelcome and unwanted. There, we don't always have the privilege of the choice.
That's right.
To say, I don't want to feel this pain. I'll lie down or go for a walk or whatever. There is plenty of flexibility and choice here, in most cases. There, and it's well worth working with, as you said, there, learning to accept and notice all the changes that are going on in the pain, learning to breathe through and with it, and really seeing if we can really expand our pain horizons. If it starts getting too much, if you feel too much pressure in the back because of history.
I had fever, so it was like my body told me, stop it.
It's true, but it's a little hard to know
if
the fever is from your body or from your mind.
That's right.
And or maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe I just walked in the sun too much.
I doubt it. I think it's sometimes when there's pressure with pain, the mind heats up, the body heats up, and of course you get the fever there. So, this is the process of learning to chill out, and therefore just learning to relax with it, learning to accept, looking in the areas around where the pain, the epicenter of it, see if you can work with it, breathe into it and out, see where the edges of it are, and sometimes we really can expand our pain horizons. But it's part of the practice, with always the freedom to move if it just feels too much. and it must keep that freedom to move as well.
I was just wondering if it's like a must in practice if you want to like to reach the ability to be able to meditate for hours. Do you have to go through that barrier? Or, I don't know.
It depends a little bit. So, in working with people over the years, as well as myself, most of us at some point have had to deal with pain in the body. Most. Some people have got legs like rubber. And they can just sit till the cows come home. But it's not always such a good thing to sit without pain as well, because pain does help a little bit to keep one in the present moment. So it's got a bit of use. So people don't have pain, they can be wandering around the planet and never even hear the bell to end. So, but mostly at the moment, there is some pain there. One wants to have a clear relationship with it. One wants to be able to be with the situation without struggle and conflict. And that's your practice. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have a quiet minute or two, and then invitation. Yes, anyone, anytime. And with the, you hold the mic, with the recording, it's okay.
Hearing the previous conversation, mm-hmm. I realized that something that's bothering me in my life,
yes,
my daily life,
yes,
is probably about struggle.
About struggle.
And I didn't see it until now, but mm-hmm. maybe you can help me
mm-hmm.
explore this. I work as a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and I find myself
a bit louder.
So okay. Right. I work as a doctor, and I find myself what I'm doing, the work itself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really connected and
with the patient.
With the patient or with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
then I'm usually I'm okay. In this yes. moment, yes. in this exact moment, I'm okay. But for the rest of the things around, like receiving them, the pressure of the number of patients, the hours, the whole system I have to work with, I feel a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, common story. But the pressure is time, number of hours, is it? The pressure feels like the number of patients or clients or the visitors, and also the amount of time with the patient. What's the...
No, the pressure what? Is... What I want to talk about is my... it's like I lost contact with loving what I do, except yes. for what I'm doing it exactly. And yes. I think most of it doesn't come from the number of hours or the number of patients, because I reduced this.
Mm, yes.
And I have time to rest and have quiet time. The pressure is probably because I'm angry with the way it goes.
Mm.
And also I need to say something. I work at the hospital in the morning, and twice a week I work in another structure.
Yes.
In my clinic. And there I don't feel the pressure. I like what I do, and I can smile and connect with the people, even with the people around.
Yes.
But in the hospital, it's like I really don't like it anymore. And it comes to a point where I've been trying all kinds of things, and I come to a point where I ask myself if I'm going to stop doing it at the hospital.
I hear this exact same report everywhere I go. The circumstances of okay I hear this everywhere I go, where people in the field of medicine, doctors and nurses in hospitals, having to experience all sorts of expectations and demands, and fitting into schedules, into procedures, into forms, which many places are constantly changing as well. And when new authorities come in, new management, new government rulings, everything once again. And it's not, agree, it's not an easy environment in which to work. There's the given on the outside, under the structure, under the word, under the concept of hospital. Then there is you in the relationship to it. A sure sign when the pressure has reached a certain point, the sure sign is doubt. Do I want to be working in this? And the doubt is a consequence of difficult perceptions running over a period of time. Then we get to the point of doubt there. Sometimes the change has to be both outer and inner. One has to be an instrument for change, outer. And also and equally, a change for the one inner as well. Let's take the inner one first. What would be a completely fresh way to look at the situation, totally fresh to you, even though nothing externally has changed?
The only thing I can come with is that it's the first day I go to the hospital for work. It's like it's the first time I see these people, first time I see this building, nice. First time I see this instrument.
All right. Good start. It's cool. You know, there's a lovely book, much loved, called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. You're in a Zen environment. Problematic. Forgive me. Unpredictable. Never know what's coming next. Memory is the killer. So, coming in. One valid step. Come in. This is the first day. That itself, not carrying the past, can bring a certain level of freshness, newness, energy and interest. When you open that door, you go through the main door, whatever, you open that main door. You don't put one foot inside that door and say, wow, first time here, first day. Now, that we'll have to keep very clear, because it's only for pressure and a view of ongoing problem. It can only be maintained through memory. Even though you may not be remembering last week or yesterday or that, but it's accumulative. So if you're coming in fresh, that means you're letting go, lightening the load of the memory. There, one can start afresh. That you'll have to be very, very, very clear about when your hand goes on that door. Don't put your foot inside. Is this a new day? And if your mind says, oh no, not here again, then you walk back to where you came from and you start all over again. Anything else? Freshness, newness, Zen mind, beginner's mind. Anything else?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the same thing, but it would be like me, I am also coming. It's not like it's the first day I come here, but I come differently. Yes. I come without my responsibility of making it different.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Without my.
It may be that the freshness that you bring may trigger some fresh insights in which you can cooperate with your colleagues, because the probability is they are also working and walking in with the weight of, oh, it's so hard. So if one is unloading this sack of potatoes on one's back, it may freshen things up for you to see. Otherwise, you're going to live in a complaining culture, a conspiracy of misery. So your steps are important, but also valuable for others as well. Important. Anything else?
And also doing what I'm doing here, taking it as each minute,
all right,
minute by minute, not seeing the whole picture all the time, seeing only
all right
one thing at a time.
Good. So two aspects to this. One, very regularly in hospital, there is the most important aspect of the work is your attention to the suffering of somebody else. That's the work. The work is the privilege, but the work is not independent of all the events that go around it. So just as you said, there's the direct perception. you in this privileged role of helping people who are suffering. The heart, mind and body sometimes, as you know. And that focus and priority has got to be kept alive for your heart, for compassion, for love, for service there. Nevertheless, you're not always in the doctor's room on the one-to-one. And there will be times when you go, Dharma, Buddha Dharma language here, from the particular, you, to the patient, to the general. The general is the forms, the structures, the rules, the new initiative, all that goes along, the paperwork, information, that's part of the doctor's life. It can't be independent of it. And those times, is to watch those times, and especially I would say, watch the thought or the word that complains. It generates a climate of heaviness. And that climate of heaviness stops change. And even though you may, as a doctor, privileged role, your ears may get burnt from others complaining, nurses, fellow doctors, management. Try not to let a word out of your mouth. Complaining doesn't do anything. It's the action and the initiative which is creative and fresh that brings about the change. And if you're focused, and you come in with a fresh mind, there's more opportunity. You'll get the good counsel of others. And if there's complaining, you'll be part of the problem. It's a good practice for you. Don't forget that handle on the door. Be aware of what you're walking into. So, fresh beginning every day. Real care and love with your good patients, your good clients there. When you're in the bureaucracy of people and papers and the structure, be very vigilant about what comes out. You put all that together, you'll convert the hospital into a holiday camp. That probably sounds a bit ambitious. Thank you. Yes, anyone, anytime.
But I need a translation. Okay. I understand you,
yes.
But it's very difficult
yes.
for me
All
to
right.
speak, okay?
So the request is for a translator. Yeah. Lina, Rami.
הזדמנות אדירה בשבילי, כי רק לפני 10 שנים חליתי בסרטן שד ועברתי טיפולים כימותרפיים, וברוך השם 10 שנים היה שקט מוחלט.
Oh, I see, yeah, right. Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so 10 years ago, Hani discovered she was sick with cancer, breast cancer, and she's saying it's a great opportunity for her now to come to the retreat.
Yes.
And עכשיו נודע לי שהסרטן חזר.
Now it came back.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. ואני מרגישה שרק הזיכרון של מה שאני הולכת לעבור עוד פעם, והפחד ממה שאני הולכת לעבור, זה יהרוג אותי, לא הסרטן יהרוג אותי, אלא הפחד.
So just the memory and the fear from what she's going to go through, she feels that this is what is going to kill her, not the cancer.
Yes. If I just ask a little questions, initially, from the original cancer that you had, what was the diagnosis at that time, and how what kind of operations, how long was the remission?
About a year.
About a year. And then, what was said to you afterwards, after a year had gone by?
Okay, then every year, you know, I go to the oncologists and yes. they make a, you know, they send me home and say, come next year.
Yes.
Until now, please come back.
Well, and how long ago did you find out that it the cancer?
About 10 days.
Only about 10 days ago?
Yeah.
Was the report that was given to you? What did the oncologist? What did they say?
No, they don't know yet.
They don't know.
No, they know how big it is. They don't know, but they probably know that I have to לחזור על כל הסיפור הזה שוב.
They probably know she will have to repeat. She thinks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this will mean the drugs and radiation and
yes.
the whole
yes catastrophe. All the sites
well,
yeah well.
From the when you speak right now you speak with some humor
yeah
I'm wondering where the humor is coming from.
אני חושבת שההומור בא, זה הומור שחור, שבא בדרך כלל, שאתה יודע שאין מה לעשות, זה מה יש כרגע, ואני מרגישה שעוד זה עוד אני יכולה לעבור. מה שהורג אותי באמת, אני מרגישה שזה הפחד. עכשיו, מעכשיו, עד סוף הטיפולים, מה שיהיה עכשיו זה הפחד. וזה מה שהרג אותי גם בפעם שעברה, אבל זה גם הולך להרוג אותי הפעם.
Honey says that she feels that the humor is a dark one because there's nothing else to do.
No.
But what she really feels is, again, she's saying the fear
yes.
is going to kill her, not the thing.
Yeah, it's a very strong and powerful comment and reflection to say that. So I just want to get the flow. So 10 days ago, they said the cancer has come back.
The tumor.
After 10 years of remission.
Yes.
And now, what information are you waiting for now? Is it for
that my oncologist come back from abroad, and yes. the hospital tell me that it should probably be the same.
Yes.
Probably. But אבל לא נעשו עוד כל הבדיקות כדי לדעת בדיוק. יכול להיות עוד. כי פעם שעברה זה לא היה מפושט ולא יודעים הפעם עדיין.
So, all of the tests have not been done yet.
No. All right, okay. In terms of the fear which is arising, what would you be most afraid of? What's the most fearful thing about it all?
החזרה מטיפולים שמאוד קשים, הבחילות, ההקאות, נשירת השיער, השישות, כל מה שמלווה לזה, זה הכי מפחיד אותי.
So coming back from the treatment,
yes.
It's very difficult, and the hair is falling, and being very, very tired.
Yeah, sure. In terms, just for the outer in a moment, in terms of family and friends and loved ones, the sense and feeling is that there is good network of support around?
Yes? Very good family.
That's nice. Very, very helpful and important here. The fear was reference initially to the hair falling out. Men are always losing their hair.
Not women.
No. But what I mean by that, it's appearance, is it?
Yeah. That's right. השאלה שלי, איך אני מתמודדת, לא כל כך עם הדברים האלה, עם הפחד. הפחד שם יושב כל הזמן.
Again, Juan is asking, how is she dealing with the fear, not with this thing, but with the fear that it sits there all the time?
Strictly speaking, it's not possible for fear to sit anywhere all the time. It's a myth. It can only arise when it's connected with. And of course, very understandably, it can be connected with the future. Cancer brings more uncertainty, insecurity. It can be connected with pain. Can't be easy going through radiation treatment and all the drugs, etc. And with appearances, etc. So there are plenty of moments when the experience of fear is not actually present, and probably plenty of moments when it is. First thing to bear in mind, which is important, when you are feeling happy, smiling, even talking about it, please trust in this feeling and take no notice of these wretched psychologists who will say, oh, she's hiding something underneath. Take no notice of them. They're completely out to lunch. What is arising in the moment is what is arising in the moment. The speculation about what is not arising is only a speculation. It's a claim. It's an unprovable. So when you're happy, even when talking about or about other things, enjoy it. It's part of the antidote to your fear. But still, fear is there. Since having the information, has any specific fears arisen? Has there been something like, it could be the pain, radiation, that whole weeks, months, year, longer, who knows, of treatment, the sheer uncertainty of it all, appearances. Has any one of those, or is any one of those standing out more than the others, or it's just the whole package?
Sometimes the whole package.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's only המקום שאני לא יכולה לשרת את עצמי, החוסרונים.
And sometimes it's the place that she feels she cannot serve herself. It's being helpless.
Being helpless. Which way would you like to be helpful to yourself and serve yourself? Because that's the fear.
Yeah.
The fear is it cripples. The fear inhibits. The fear lowers our capacity. What way would you like, as I say, to be helpful to yourself? What would confirm that? What would be steps to show that you're serving yourself?
אני רק יכולה לזכור מהפעם שעברה שהיו מקומות שיכולתי, אבל היו הרבה מקומות שכמו להתקלח לבד שאי אפשר. דווקא את הדברים הפשוטים האלה, אפילו ללכת, אני יודעת מה, מחדר שינה עד למטבח, שזה הייתי צריכה עזרה. זה המקומות הקשים.
Honey saying the simple things that she remembers from last time.
Like yes.
Taking a shower.
Yeah.
On her own, or just walking to the kitchen from the.
Yeah.
The kitchen.
So, if I'm listening, it's some affirmation, confirmation of some independence of spirit. Well, nice. You'll have to keep that strongly alive, as much, you know, not every day, because when the energy is very low, but to keep that the vitality of that. It's vital to explore ways to be fearless. You're right, the fear will kill you before the cancer.
For sure.
And it's a very, very all too human hook between the two. All too human. But if that gets unhooked, the fears, we've got nothing to hook on. Going to get disempowered. That fear needs your cancer for its existence. And what about sometimes? It could be in the night you wake up and feeling afraid. It could be just watching a television program. It could be seeing a child growing up. Or, you know, all the little things, little moments of vulnerability, and then suddenly you're thrown back. Here's the body. There's a tumor in the body. The future is uncertain. What will help in the moments of some vulnerability, that this is going on with the body, it's not worth being afraid of? What's going to remind you in the night in the uncertain future, in the middle of the radiation treatment or whatever is necessary. We're going to keep something clear, not to let the fear hook onto the body condition.
שזה המקום שאני יכולה לצאת מעצמי ולעזור למישהו אחר.
It's a place that she can get out of herself and help somebody else.
And it's lovely and beautiful, and it shows an empathy and connection. And if at that time there's nobody around, there's just you.
There's a telephone.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm making it as deliberately difficult as I can, you know. When there's nobody around, there's nobody to turn to, there is just you, and you want to serve yourself, you can't reach out, there's nobody there to reach out, you're just there. What is the way to live calmly and clearly and fearlessly with the condition?
Tell the truth, God.
God.
Really? For me? Some tired way? But it's all.
What's God for you? What?
It's my God.
Your God?
Yes. And it's help.
When, if you were to put the word G-O-D into some other word, what how would you explain your God?
זה כוח עליון שמחוץ לי, שאני מחוברת מאוד חזק אליו, וכשאני מתפללת אני מרגישה שבזכות התפילה אני גם הפחד וגם כאב וכל דבר ככה נעשה יותר רגוע, וכאילו נלקח ממני.
So it's a force outside of herself.
Yes.
But when she is praying, yeah, she feels that the burden is being taken away.
Well, oh, no. In the Dharma, we see through our experience what works. If works, wonderful. Wonderful. So to use the resources, as we said, connection and love for others, keeping the independent spirit alive, catching in the vulnerable moments when fear arises and see what's another way of looking at this. It may, of course, require some surrender and letting go. It may be drawing on the strength of something much bigger than ourselves, which we call, etc. And to use all of those resources there and be happy. Be happy. Thank you. We'll just have a quiet couple of minutes to finish, then I'll just give a short reflection. Sometimes with the inquiry times there are some common themes that weave their way through from one person to another there, but also wish to give real attention to the specifics of the situation. And sometimes we as human beings are really at our best when there is a quiet, focused interest to look at what is necessary, not to be afraid of, not to struggle with, and to see if we can open up a fresh kind of relationship. And in teachings and practices, the relationship too is more important than the event. And meaning that as human beings, we have this infinite potential to change, to transform, to look afresh, to look anew. And so there can be the event. The event is called, in this case, some pain in the body. The event is called working in a hospital. The event is called being told that there's a tumor. They're significant, not to be in any way underestimated, the impact of the event which is on our life. We may, with love and wisdom and skillful means, be able to actually transform the event itself. And a lovely example of that, of 10 years of remission, does show the transformation of an event that of cancer from 10 years ago. And we are interested in changing and transforming the event, for sure. But we also have to look at the relationship to the event and to use our tremendous capacity for transcendence, not a kind of metaphysical, spiritual transcendence, but a transcendence of the situation, so that instead of struggle with, instead of conflict and doubt about, instead of fear of, we change the relationship, we transform the relationship so that there is a clear comprehension of the event. There isn't any running away from it. And yet, we've taken out of the event the problem. And that's when the event is there and the problem of the event has gone out, then we've transcended it through the transformation, through the change in the relationship. And this is a huge challenge, because all life, without exception, is about events and our relationship to them. There's no other life. There's nothing outside of it. This is it. And so sometimes it isn't easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. It may or may not give us some comfort that others are worse off than what we are. But still, we have to explore. Can pain in the body, wherever it may be arising, can one look into that? See it through. Is it as bad as I imagine, as I interpret, as I think it actually is? Is my consciousness being restricted to that locality of pain? Is there life outside of that location? And sometimes people on the meditation cushion just spend the whole sittings thinking about their knees. Like, there is life outside the knees, I promise you. So sometimes we need to remember, if we're getting bogged down in our knees or something else, is there life going on outside of that event? So the event belongs to a much larger event, and that larger event is important, call it by whatever name we wish. When the doctor came to sit here, I hope you all noticed the appropriate t-shirt she's wearing in huge Gothic letters there. It says STOP, stop. So we listened to the doctor. So she's going to be wearing this t-shirt every day to work, isn't it? She's going to stop when she reaches the front door. She's going to stop any complaining. She's going to stop thinking it's a problem. She's going to stop thinking about there's somewhere else better to be for a doctor than a hospital or whatever. And the t-shirt, you could wear it for your patients. Tell them to stop worrying. The word stop is a great concept for the t-shirt. Yeah. And some situations, of course, as we listen to, with the uncertainties that can arise. And we live in a time where we're enormously challenged with heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, and many other kinds of ills. And human beings, we're vulnerable creatures. As much biology, as it were, as anything else. And the love and the support that we give to each other keeps us alive, keeps the spirit alive. And that really, as it were, can transcend the situation. And I think exactly as you said, and reminded us a couple of times, that the fear can kill us. The fear can take the passion out of life. The fear can numb us. The fear can take so much away from us. And there are wonderful examples, and I'm sure you know and I know, of men and women who are facing life-threatening illnesses. They've worked with that fear. They've worked through that fear. They've transcended the limitation of not knowing how much longer on this earth. And something else profound and awakened and beautiful has come through. And that we all need to be and should be really, really interested in. So that the relationship to the event can accommodate the event. And when our relationship to the event can accommodate any event, we are at our best. We are really fulfilling something quite remarkable about us. And we'll take a real interest in that. Thank you.